Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Frontier Beyond Fear Blog Talk Radio Program. I'm Susan Larison-Dans, and today I know it's going to be quite a special conversation with someone I have known for a very long time who actually was a part of my own awakening many years ago. It's so interesting in our lives when we have these synchronicities occur where people just appear on your path, and they sometimes early, sometimes late. And in this case, the guest that I have today appeared quite early in the path of my awakening, and she has gone on to do such beautiful things within the spiritual community. And I feel that she's only just beginning, even so. And her name is Christine Wuschke. Christine has a new book coming out in the fall called Freedom is Your Nature, A Practical Guide to Transformation. Christine brings to her life experience, I guess I should say, I was going to say brings to the table, but it goes far beyond that, a real depth of higher experience. On the surface, I could say, she is a certified yoga teacher. She is a meditation teacher. She holds a retreat every year in Hawaii where they have spontaneous encounters with dolphins and, you know, just a very restful meditative experience every year. And she's been teaching yoga and meditation for over 15 years. So that's the surface level, Christine. But the deeper Christine, and she brings this to the surface as well, has had some significant higher experiences and encounters with things that, quite honestly, are not always easy to describe. And I know that an ongoing theme on this show has been mystical experience, which I, too, have had, and I know many of us are having. And so that's all a part of the depth of Christine Wuschke, who I'm so happy to have on the show today. Now, before I bring her on the line, just a couple of notes. We do have an open chat room today. If you would like to go in the chat and talk about today's show, that's a nice place to do so. If you are not normally on Blog Talk Radio as a listener, you do have to get a login to go into the chat. And if you're having trouble seeing the chat, one easy way is if you look at the blogtalkradio.com homepage, and you'd have to open this in another window, and you see the on-air button and you go there, if you look on the right side of the page, you can see all the chats. And this chat is Susan Larison-Dans. Also, you may see it on the show page. It really depends on how you've opened up the show. So that's if you're joining us live. Now, we will welcome callers if anyone would like to call in and join with us in this conversation today. We are going to be talking about freedom, living consciously, dolphins, and quite honestly, wherever we're guided to go. And that call-in number today is 310-807-5104. And you are also able to call in internationally if you append the appropriate code. So we welcome international callers as well. So if you want to learn more about Christine, and if you click on it, be careful because it'll take you off the show page if you're listening. So make sure you click on it in such a way to go to a different window or wait for a while. Her website is on the show page, innerlightyoga.blogspot.com. So without any further delay, now that we've gotten all those logistics out of the way, I am just so happy to welcome my dear friend Christine on the show. Hello, Christine.
Hi, Susan. How are you?
Really, really doing well. I told you before the show that this week and really this month in general has been a time of tremendous shift. There's just been a lot happening, and so I know that you've observed this often. So yes, I'm coming to the show in that way, really continuing to experience quite a paradigm shift right now.
Mm-hmm. I've been hearing that from lots of places lately.
Yeah, you know, maybe you can help. What does it mean, Christine, when we all seem to share in this? It's very energetic, it seems, that we're all picking up on it at a similar time, or many of us are.
I think for me, I mean, I can't speak for everyone, but I know that just because of what I do as a yoga teacher and a massage therapist, and I also do a lot of energy work and body work, I tend to attract people into my world that are kind of already on a spiritual path and going through maybe a bit of an awakening or some kind of transformation. So, and I work out of my home, so I tend to just see the people that are going through spiritual awakenings in my everyday life, but I don't know that it's happening in the whole world or if it's just happening in my world. But
sometimes I go
out of my, you know, I go to the mall or something with my son, and it's like, okay, well, maybe not everybody.
Yeah, I have to be careful too, not to generalize too much, but it does seem I encounter a lot of spiritual people. I don't have a practice out of my home or anything like that, but just in my encounters online with people that, and again, you know, you can't generalize, but it does seem, and maybe it is that when we're going through it, we kind of resonate with others who are going through it too, and we sort of attract each other, if you think about that, the very energy of the thing attracts, you know, we're just pulled into each other's space in a way. So I think so.
I think we sort of gather together in like-minded pods.
Yeah.
Dolphin pods.
Well, I will tell you that I am very much putting myself in a space of listening and allowing right now, because that seems to be where I'm being guided to be. And many things, you know, that there are a number of things that are really just blossoming on their own, like this show. I mean, it's a really good example. I've watched it pretty rapidly go from once a week, and now it seems it's three times. And so that can both, you know, you have to be careful, because I don't want the show to drive me. You know, I want to be in control of how much time it's taking. But on the other hand, it is a joy to do. And I really like that I'm able to bring on quite a variety of people, too, who, you know, but people that I've known for quite a while who are doing amazing things. And then all kinds of new people are just showing up. So it's an interesting time. Now I know that your book is about freedom.
Yes.
Which is a very important area for me as well right now, and for many of us. I wonder if you could talk to us a little bit, Christine, about where you're heading with your book.
Okay. Well, it's interesting you used the word allowing when you set your intention for the call, because one of the main themes in the book is what I call the allowing practice. And it really is just that. It's learning how to stop. And I mean that in a way of really deeply internally stopping. So not so much thinking about stopping, but really stopping and letting things be as they are. And interestingly, when you go into that space of really stopping and allowing, synchronicities do tend to happen. So it's really interesting to me what you were just saying, that these synchronicities are happening for you. Mm-hmm. And it does seem to go that way for a lot of people. So that's one of the main themes in the book, is what I call the allowing practice. And in the book, each chapter sort of has like a theme to it. You know, one chapter is on relationships, and one's on maybe courage to be yourself, and just sort of like different topics like that. And within each chapter, there is a little intro, and then there's my journal entry of when I started going through my personal transformation, my spiritual journey, I started journaling, and I started logging all the experiences that I was having. And so I have, you know, 10 years of journal entries saved on my computer. So when I started writing the book, I went through those journal entries and kind of selected ones that would kind of be fitting for that particular chapter. So each chapter has a journal entry, and then the end of each chapter has an actual practice that you know, you can do the exercise yourself, or apply that particular idea or practice into your daily life. So that's why it's called A Practical Guide to Transformation. So it's geared to help a person who's kind of interested in transformation or interested in spiritual awakening, and how can they bring that into their daily lives. And actually right now we've got a the publisher has, we have an Indiegogo campaign going.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so if anyone is interested in pre-ordering the book, you can actually go in and pre-order it right now for the next, I think 17 days are left. So, you know, for the next little over 2 weeks, you can go and pre-order the book. You just go into the Indiegogo.com website and then type in Freedom is Your Nature, and that'll take you to our campaign. And you can pre-order a digital copy of the book for $10, or you can pre-order a signed hard copy of the book for $25. And there's all kinds of other perks, including a trip to Hawaii. So
go
check that out.
Oh, wow. I'll have to check that out myself.
Yeah.
Every time I see your Hawaii trips every year, one of these years, I know I'll get out there, because it just they just sound amazing.
Yeah, they really are. It's a really magical, really magical place, and where the retreat location is on a sacred site in Hawaii. Mm-hmm. So there's really good energy there. Just being on the land is powerful, and then doing the yoga every day, and eating the healthy organic food every day, and swimming in the ocean every day. So yeah, it's definitely a pretty magical experience.
Yeah, it looks like a very peaceful place. You can tell just by looking at it, the energy is special. And,
It is.
You know, you do create a very special energy around your work. I've been observing you from afar, just the growth of your work, Christine, because even there's so many people who are sharing in your energy on Facebook, for example, and they interact with you in such a rich way. And and so I'm so glad that you are writing a book. And I know that books come when they're ready. They just, you know, it's like a child.
Yeah, totally.
In a way.
It comes when it comes.
It does. And and yet, even before having a book, I can see, you know, just how there's just this loving energy that's all around your work online
that's been
there for a while. And I've observed it. And yes, it is interesting how we so synchronistically met so long ago,
and then
to see how your work has grown. It's something.
Yeah, that was at the very start of my spiritual awakening.
We were probably just, maybe most of the times, there was just us or a couple other people in a chat room, and I was sitting in Kansas in a rather difficult situation where I was also awakening. And we were both
hard in the beginning.
It was, and yet we found each other, and then to see how things are progressing, it's just it's amazing the way soul family, in a way, we just sort of come together. You never know when they're going to show up.
I mean, I often think of it in terms of pods, like when I'm spending time with the dolphins, that humans have that desire for connection, that it's really important to us as human beings to connect on a deep level with each other. And it's interesting you mentioned the Facebook sharing, because when I first got into the whole social media world and started to blog my journal entries live in public, I was kind of scared to do that. You know, I was like, oh, this is my, you know, these are my deep internal processes that I'm, but the guidance was really strong to just share myself and to write from the heart and to allow myself to just be vulnerable. And it's interesting what comes of that is, is that other people share that way too, and like you said, the sharing is very rich and really deep, and then a lot of people can read that and get something out of that too. So it definitely pays off to be vulnerable. It's not always easy.
No, it's not. And
but it's extremely rewarding.
You know, I've been at a different spot in my writing, and I'm only just now beginning to share. Well, I used to do it a lot, but then I kind of shut down for a while. I've had just all kinds of different undercurrents going through my own experience that, and for whatever reason, my own writing kind of shut down for a while. I was still sharing to a point, but lately I've been blogging every day, and it's getting more and more honest. And you know what's so interesting about blogging every day is people get to experience your shifts, because what I might have been thinking 2 days ago was just a step to what I'm thinking today. And so that's the most interesting thing I've found happening, where I have to say, well, you know, I actually have sort of a different perspective than that post 2 days ago.
That's totally changed now.
it's part of the shift. And I think you have to be just honest with yourself when you're doing that, and honest with people. And so often, you know, when people write, people just, in the more conventional world, there's this tendency to expect that once you write something, oh, that's that person, and they own that 100%, and that's the way they are. And yet, we're not like that. We're shifting human beings, and if we're vulnerable and honest online, that's going to come through. And I think that that helps others too, so that they can allow themselves to move through different emotions and experiences.
Yeah, and just that willingness to be open and to be vulnerable will definitely come through. Yeah, I think that's really important. And, you know, for me, over the last maybe 5 or 6 years, I've been on Facebook and sharing my journey. So a lot of people who were, you know, connected to me right from the beginning have sort of watched me go through my transformation and have been going through their own transformations too. And so you end up kind of developing a bond, and people that you've never even seen before, but you see their writings online every day, and you kind of develop a common understanding. It's like, yeah, we're all going through this together.
it's so heart to heart. And you know, that is something, we're really hitting upon something, I think, that is so special about where we are today in the world, because, you know, in the past, you might have been surrounded by a few close friends that maybe you would talk with. But now, I mean, when our hearts are open online and we're just sharing from the heart, I mean, just look at the level, the depth of interaction.
Yeah, what can come out of it is pretty powerful, for sure.
Absolutely. And, you know, when I say soul family, at the highest level, we are all in the family. I mean, you know, I know that we will connect with certain people, and they ebb and flow, too. That's just like family. That's what's interesting, too, is that, you know, we come into and out of each other's spheres because we're doing our things, and then we, you know, it just kind of flows like any family. And, but, yeah, ultimately, it's an amazing thing when people are open with one another, when they're just being themselves. And you know, to talk about freedom, I think for me, having come out of a pretty repressed environment myself, that's a journey for me. And more I can just feel the liberation of simply being myself. And it's a process. I'm not all the way there. There are things I probably don't, well, I know there are things I don't talk about, but it's still something that it's transformative. It truly is.
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody's probably in a work in progress kind of space in their lives, definitely. But it is interesting what you say about the times that we're in, and how social media is really starting to change things. And before, I think with spirituality, you might have one or two people in a town that are going through something like a spiritual awakening. And so there, we, you know, you would in the past probably have really gone through these things alone. And now we have the entire world at our fingertips on the internet, and so those two people in every town all of a sudden becomes 1,000 people that you can relate to and you can reach out to and connect to. And so now you have all the support available for you. So it's actually quite an amazing thing. And then I almost think it's a little bit contagious.
It is spiritual
awakening.
It is. That is such a good point. It really is contagious. And there sometimes is this feeling of you'll see someone else who's really gone through something maybe similar to yours and come out the other side.
Yeah.
And it's so inspiring to see that, you know, how they were able to do that. And I think that then gives you hope. You know, if you're going through something challenging, like if someone's going through a health challenge or, you know, abundance challenge, there's so many different challenges. And believe me, I've said it many times on this show, you know, I'm not immune to challenges. That's
right. No, yeah, I don't think we're ever immune.
We all have them. That's part of the planet Earth experience, I think.
I don't think you ever become immune to the human experience until you're not a human anymore.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing. Why are we here? You often ask that. Otherwise, we probably, you know, we just wave our magic wands and here would be something else. Yeah.
Yeah, but, and I think as you start to sort of shift your focus of attention, though, like what becomes more important might be the consciousness aspect of the human experience or the spirit aspect of the human experience. And so then that may be what you focus on more. And so then you're not so much identified or bound by those human challenges and human experiences that we have, but they still happen. You're just not, you know, trapped in it or stuck anymore.
Well, something, it seems. I mean, I have noticed that. I mean, there's no question I'm more at peace with a lot of things than I would have been. And it's strange. It's like certain things that would have really fazed me, it's all about reaction, that I would have reacted to, and sometimes I still do, but things that would have really fazed me before don't faze me as much. And it's part of the journey. I told a story on my Facebook page today. It was kind of a synchronicity, but it was definitely a synchronicity. I got caught in kind of a negative loop for a minute. It was just, you know, something related to a business thing that was stressful, but, you know, didn't go as well as I had wanted. And I got caught up in it for a few minutes this morning and was writing something about it to somebody. And then I was listening to a very calming CD, which was Native American Flute Meditations, and all of a sudden, right when I was in that place, and I could feel it, you know, you really start to feel it more, don't you? Where it's just that it's not, you're not feeling right because you just dropped in vibration, and the CD got stuck.
Interesting.
I put this on my page, it got stuck, and it was playing the same note over and over and over, and it was really annoying too. And it was as if there was no way I could sit there in that energy without getting up, because it was actually playing on a CD player across the room. I had to get up and you know, turn it off or move it to a different place, and that broke the energy. And I realized, hey, I'm stuck. You know, I am not going to be stuck in this negative thing. That I can just let go. It's not affecting me now. It's done. You know, just let it go. And that was my synchronicity of the morning. And it was a good one.
That's a good one.
It really was.
It's a powerful one. That stuff starts to happen. That really shows you that stuff's really changing.
Yeah, and I know you talk about becoming unstuck, because there's that notion. Yeah, maybe we should explore that some more. Just this, because so many of us feel stuck sometimes, even when we feel like we're walking a higher path. Like, I could lecture myself several times and say, oh, you know, I shouldn't be stuck on that or those shoulds. And yet, why don't you share with us, Christine, about becoming unstuck?
Well, I think for me, it's become a process of inner alchemy a little bit. So I would notice in my past, I would notice recurring situations that would kind of repeat. So there'd be themes like the stuck, you know, maybe stuck in a particular thought or a situation that would keep coming back. And I mm-hmm. and like you, it was like, oh, here's this thing again. How is this happening again?
Mm-hmm.
And I started to really investigate these things, and I would go into them kind of on a feeling level. I'd be like, well, what does it feel like when I'm in that situation again? And I'm just going to kind of deal with this once and for all. Because the old way of dealing with it wasn't working. And the old
yeah.
way of dealing with it was that I was trying to avoid it, or I was trying to fix it or change it or make it go away. So I had an aversion to it, and so I would reject it. And so at some point it occurred to me, I need to flip this whole thing around. I need to go the other way. And instead of rejecting it, I need to bring it closer. I need to actually bring the things I don't like inside me and actually deal with them and just to hold them in my field, and
mm-hmm.
and it would actually start to transmute on its own when I would do that, and then things started to really change. And it was like, oh, I think I've got the secret formula now. I've been doing it backwards all along. So it kind of got exciting for me, because it started to really shift as soon as I would go the other way, and I would go into the pain, or I go into the sadness, or I go into whatever it was that I didn't like that I was avoiding.
Yeah.
I'd bring it closer, and it became sort of like an alchemy of sorts, and it would transmute itself inside my system, and there was some kind of intelligence that would just work it out. And I remember at some point when I was going through this process, somebody was introducing me to homeopathic medicine, and actually how it works is that you
yes.
take a little bit of the sickness, and the, you know, if you have the flu, you take a little bit of the flu, or if you have a headache, you take a little bit of headache. That's sort of like the philosophy of it. And I realized that's actually so profound, because when you have 100% aversion to something, you can't adapt to it. You can't adapt
yes.
and move forward. But if you were to, instead of having 100% aversion to it, if you were to say, okay, I'm going to drop down my defenses even 98% and let a little bit of that in, now my system can start to actually adapt to this frequency, and the intelligence can start to work it out. But as long as I'm 100% going, nope, I'm never feeling that. Never
yes.
going into that.
Yes.
Then we can't adapt to it, and we can't overcome, and we can't, you know, move on. And so that was one of the things I discovered, was all the places in my life where I had that rejection, that I had to turn it around and go the other way. And
yes.
then I started getting really excited about it. It's like, oh, here's another place that I've been rejecting something. I can pull this one too. I can reclaim that. Oh, good, I'm sad. Great.
Wow. You know, actually, this really makes me think about even my own situation today, that, you know, maybe perhaps it wasn't the time this morning,
mm-hmm.
especially preparing for my show. And, you know, a part of me wants to say, okay, you know, I'm done with that. I don't want to go there. What did I just say? Maybe.
Let's go there. And then you said, let's go there.
maybe I need to just spend some time with that thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
And so it'll stop repeating on the same note.
Yeah, to sit
yeah.
down with it and to really kind of go into the feeling of it. And I kind of look at it like, one of the analogies I came up with was that it's like if you have a glass bottle sitting in a pool, and inside the glass bottle is something like red food coloring.
Yes.
And we don't like that red food coloring. We don't like the color red. So we
yes.
keep trying to underwater, we keep trying to send that bottle away and
mm-hmm.
send it away. But the current will always bring it back.
Yeah.
I don't like the color red. I'm going to send it away again, and then it comes back.
Mm-hmm.
But what doesn't occur to us to do is actually to melt the glass, and to actually
Ooh.
Hold the glass to a point where we can actually melt those walls, and then that
mm-hmm.
red food coloring just dilutes into the water.
You know,
so
it's
rather,
like you
yeah.
don't want it to get on you, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But what happens when you, and what I see the glass representing is the personal ownership. So as soon as
uh-huh.
I've claimed it and I say, this is mine and it's about me, and I've now interpreted it and made it into a story about myself too, that's like putting a glass wall around it. You see, this is my sadness and it's about this part of me, and it's because that happened, and it's because that person did that, and that's why I'm sad. So that's and so let's say the sadness is the red food coloring. All of that interpretation and claiming is the glass.
Yeah.
So if I want to go to melt the glass, what I'd do is I'd bring the whole thing closer to me, and I'd hold it as tight toward me as I can, and I would just allow myself to feel it without personal ownership. So be like, okay, this is the sadness. It doesn't even belong to me. It's just universal energy that's just here. And that's, for me, what starts to melt the glass. And then the sadness can start to get, it expands, it gets bigger, and it starts to dilute.
Mm-hmm.
And at first when that would happen, I'd be like, oh, it's getting worse. But then after I just stuck with it and stuck with it and realized that it's not getting worse, it's diluting. You know, it's being free from that tight, contracted space that it was in. And now it's starting to open itself up and it's starting to unpack. And eventually it's able to dilute right back into that hole, what I call the field, or in this analogy, the pool. And so then it's not a problem anymore. It's just the water that's here. It's just part of the water that's here.
Yes.
It's just whatever's. Yeah.
Wow, that is a really profound analogy. I'm going to have to really sit with that one for a while.
That one's in the book.
Yeah. Well, it's a good one. It's a good one because that's powerful.
Yeah.
And it is true. Our initial instinct is to run away or, you know, we do have these shoulds in our head that we've been taught, perhaps, that, you know, don't think about it or, you know, that's not healthy to be going there if it's some, you know, negative thought, resentment, you know, resentment or when there's been some kind of betrayal, you know, heartbreak of some kind. And you don't,
but the thoughts and the emotions tend to feed off of each other, too. And so you kind of almost create, you know, you almost strengthen the glass by feeding it a little bit with the thoughts. But if you can kind of find a way to stop, you know, interpreting it and analyzing it and going over and over in your mind about it and go underneath that to what it feels like, that's sort of where you can kind of start to penetrate the energy of it. And that's where you get to the thing that's inside the glass. So that's where you can kind of start to let that out. Because it's all the thoughts about it that kind of keep it all cycling and circulating around in that one little contracted space. And what I find is that it remains very intensified. So it's like if it was solid red food coloring inside the glass, it would be very intense. But if I could melt that glass and just have it within the whole pool, it'll get lighter and lighter and lighter and lighter and lighter and lighter. So it's less and less and less intense. And it's a lot easier to sit with sadness when it's not my sadness, and it's my sadness about this, and it's, you know, this person did that to me, and that's why I'm sad, and then that happened, and that happened, and that happened. Now I'm even more sad.
Yeah, that's when you're going in that loop,
Yeah, and you're going in a loop, exactly.
Well, and I guess if it's in the glass, it's stuck in there, and it just keeps circulating in that tiny space, right?
It does,
And
so we send the whole thing away.
Around.
I don't like you.
You just want to throw it.
Yeah, but the current keeps bringing it back to you, and you're
like
what?
You said, what a beautiful analogy. I am just loving this analogy, because yes, it does. It gets trapped in there. And that whole notion of being all bottled up, you know, what does that really mean?
Exactly.
It's not being allowed to be dealt with at all. That is really profound. I'm going to have to sit with that. That's, you know, I just wrote this morning on my page that, and your book isn't out yet, but I've been working with another book right now, and that a good book isn't necessarily the one that you can't put down, although sometimes that can be the case. It's more, you need to put it down to let it work on your life, you know.
Oh,
you don't
want
to rush through it. I mean, a really good book, it's causing you not to look just in the book. You're looking at your life.
I really hope that this
gonna be
book.
Like.
Yeah, I hope that's my intention. It's that kind of book that you can put the book down and actually try out something like that for a week and just sit with. Okay, Am I personalizing this energy? Am I claiming this energy? Am I making this into a whole dialogue about myself that I could maybe just stop all of that mental energy and go to the feeling and allow that feeling to disperse within myself instead of rejecting it, to bring it closer, to move toward it and relax into it? And so that's, like in the beginning, we were talking about stopping, and that's part of that stopping, to take that time to just stop and kind of let everything just kind of fall in around you and just hold whatever's here. That's where I find that alchemy will take place once you've stopped.
I just, it's very profound. And I think to myself, you know, so often around the spiritual community, terms get thrown around like, oh, you know, we have inner work to do or things like that. And you know, there is truth to that. You know, what does it mean? You know, if you're throwing away the bottle, so to speak, all the time and not wanting to really address it, then you're not working through it and letting it work itself out. You know, there's just so many analogies. Working itself out in the water, same thing.
Yeah, because that intelligence, that I call it natural intelligence, is just there in the pool waiting to take it back. You know, it knows exactly what to do with it. But we're, you know, holding on to it so tight and trying to maintain that personal ownership over it. So it's just in that letting go that the water can take it back, and it knows exactly what to do. It, you know, it knows how to... You know, it has its own intelligence. But it's interesting, it kind of brings us back a little bit to the social media thing we were talking about earlier, too, because I think there's a little bit of a tendency, if something's really intense in somebody's life or you're going through something really deep and painful or maybe some kind of life crisis has happened, that there's almost this instinct to kind of hole up and not tell anybody and not look at it and I don't know what to do about this. And it's almost like the opposite of being able to go even onto, you know, a social media site or go to a best friend or go to another person and share and be willing to be vulnerable and open and say, this is what's happening now.
Yeah.
Then you have that support and somebody can help you to hold that. You know, then you have the backup to hold that. And it brings it out, it pulls it out of you, and now it can kind of get into the pool and be diluted. So it's kind of all, it's really valuable to have that, I'll use the word pod again, to have that support system.
You know, something I've observed, and actually this kind of came up in a recent show, and I know it's something that I'm going to explore through several guests because it's an important area, and it's directly related to what you just said, is I think a lot of times in the spiritual community where people believe strongly in the law of attraction and that their thoughts are bringing things to them. And, you know, I don't want to get too deeply into that, but I think that, because it's a whole show to itself, but just that it's not the easiest process to explain, but the thing I wanted to get at is that it's sometimes difficult for spiritual people, especially if you're doing some kind of work in the spiritual community, if you're going through a hard time, to openly say it, that, you know, you're having trouble with abundance or you're, you know, something with your health. And to be honest, you know, everyone has to be mindful of this because others will sometimes really jump on you too in the sense of, oh, you know, what are you thinking or what is, you know, and we just so need to be loving with one another.
Yeah,
so
I mean, it
can
actually even create a little bit of a shame spiral too.
It does.
Yeah,
if
I've got this spiritual self-image that says, oh, now that I'm spiritual, I have to have all good things in my life.
Oh, yeah, and it just puts yourself up on a pedestal. And, you know, nobody, if we're truly on this path, we don't want to create some false person that's, you know, supposedly so perfect. And if the more people don't talk about whatever issues they're having, the more it seems like there are these people where everything's just going great. And I'm sure.
But those are the times where real progress can happen is when difficult things are happening.
Yeah.
I kind of think of it like you're painting yourself into a corner. As soon as you kind of get it, you start to develop this notion of yourself. You get this image of yourself that, okay, now I'm a spiritual person, and now I've been introduced to create your own reality teaching, so now only all good things could happen to me. I start making brushstrokes on the floor, and I start backing myself into a corner. And then if something does happen, I can't, I've trapped myself into that space, and now I can't walk out. So
yes, and it's so true. Oh, I love that analogy too.
And this might be a radical statement, but I've come to see that this has come to be my own personal experience, is that the best possible reality is what's already happening right now.
Yes.
Whatever's happening in this moment is the best possible reality for you, because intelligence has put you here. And if it's a difficult situation, or if it's a challenging situation, it's good, because it's the thing that will help you deepen, and it's the thing that might be where that glass has come to you for the final time to be returned home, to be released. So if we're constantly trying to create a new reality and to create a better reality than the one that's here right now, we've got this conflict going on now. We've got, here's the thing that's happening right now, and here's the thing that's real for me and alive for me, but over here I'd rather have this reality that's better and feels good. And so now we've got a conflict going on, and it creates more glass walls, you know, creates more segmentation. So what I've come to experience is that the best possible reality is what's already happening right now. Whatever is here right now, prior to interpretation, before I've even made up my mind about it, whether it's good or bad, whatever's happening right now on the feeling level is exactly right. And for me, to slip into that space is, you know, it's this peace beyond, I can't even describe.
Yeah,
it's the, state that then spills out into your world.
You know, when you say allowing, and I mean, that's the ultimate in allowing. It's just, you know, I've had in recent days just some, in fact, it's even come on the radio, and is that song Let It Be? You know, it just seems to show up, and I feel like we're sometimes it's a challenging thing to do that sometimes. It's just and to actually that show that song actually implies that, you know, we're always striving. Even that one says there will be an answer, and yes, there will. But what an interesting thing! I mean, what you're saying is it's really about the now, because we're always looking for heaven, one way or another. I was trained to look for heaven in
very
my childhood.
Much so. Yeah, we all are very trained.
Yeah,
because it's so hard to be on Earth.
We
want to find a way to make it easier for us. But it's actually to go toward the hardship on a feeling level. And that's where that alchemy takes place. If I go toward the things that are hard and I face them and I do that sort of homeopathic thing or that alchemy thing with it, instead of having an aversion to it, I pull it in, then I can adapt to it. And intelligence can come in and work on it and work it out, and then I don't have to be afraid of it. And so then that fear doesn't have to run my life. And so now I'm really free. Now it's like, if that happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. But inside, I'm free. And that was actually one of the messages I got from the dolphins this last time that I was swimming with them, is that when you're free, when you're 100% free, nobody can imprison you. Like, nothing can touch that. That's real freedom. It's not externally based. It's an internal state.
It's so weird that you would mention the dolphins just now. As we were talking, and this is hard when I'm on the show, that's something I've been working with that's going on in my life. It just hit me like a wave. That was the analogy, was, you know, just to sit there and let the wave just break over you.
Yeah, that's exactly
it. And then you started talking about that. And when it did, I had this flood of emotion, you know, and I'm like, okay, you know, I'm going to keep it together for the show. But but I could feel in that moment, you are Boy, you're really assisting with alchemy here. I hope that listeners are having this experience as they're reflecting on this, or, you know, in the future. You don't have to have it right in this minute, but there was a situation that I don't completely understand, and it's just something I'm working with. And suddenly there was just this wave of, you know, it is. You know, it just is, this situation. And and I could feel the goodness of it. You know what I mean? Where it was. In that wave was this feeling of, wow, you know, I don't need to keep looking to, oh, what do I do with this? You know, no. Just in this very moment, unresolved, you know, unresolved.
Yeah.
There's this wave of peace.
Yeah.
That's what it was like. It was like it's coming over me in a second. I mean, you can only do so much on the show. Of course, I've
interrupted. That's so good,
but
you just described the alchemy process perfectly. That's exactly how it works for me, too. So
that's
exactly how I describe it in the book, to do it exactly that way. Because when you finally surrender to something you've been resisting and you go, okay, you know what, fine. You be here as you are. It is like that. You know, that glass melts, that energy rushes out, and you actually get an amazing amount of inspiration and insight out of that space. So then you actually you're inspired to deal with the external situation in a totally fresh way. All of a sudden, something you've been struggling with, you're like, oh, creative genius comes in, you're like, and now I know exactly what to do. I know what to say to that person or how to handle that situation.
Yeah. Well, it was so interesting is in that wave was the way to celebrate this thing without resolving it at all.
Perfect. Yeah,
and
just to let it be. Yeah.
Look at what gifts this thing has for you. Just feel it right now. And that's what was there. And I'm going to, you know, after the show, I'm going to have to spend some reflective time, I think, just
to
do my own alchemy work. There is magic to this, Christine. There is no question.
It's powerful.
It is. Okay.
And I mean, that's really the message of the book is about transforming.
That's okay. That's okay.
Go ahead. Oh, I was just saying that that's the message of the book is about transforming yourself and transforming your life in this way.
Yes.
So that's where the transformation takes place, is out of what you just experienced, then transformation can happen. So you've said yes to it, that wave breaks, the freedom is found in that space, inspiration can come, and then your heart, you know, the transformation, that's when things transform.
Yes, very. I can really see it. You know, why don't we talk a little more about the dolphins? Because I know that it's something I'm really curious about and really could be a show to itself. And we did do a previous show some time ago, and I will be sure to make sure that's highlighted as well, because I know we talked a little bit. It was a long time ago.
Yeah.
But you know, the consciousness of the dolphins and what they can give to us, could you talk about that a little bit more?
Well, my experience of them is that they're free beings. And one thing that really struck me, the very first kind of very profound experience I had with them was that I was in the water and I had lost a friend who had asked me to keep an eye on him. And because I had, you know, when the dolphins came, I just went into such a euphoria and such a joy, because it was really fulfilling a lifelong dream. And I just forgot all about him. And then I was like, oh, my God, I've lost him. What if he's drowned? And I started to really panic and I started to go into fear.
Yes.
And it was as if the dolphins sensed my panic, because the one dolphin broke off of the pod and came all the way over to me and parked himself right beside me. And I didn't know what he was doing. And it was like he'd swim a little bit and look back at me like, you know, follow me. And I followed him, and he led me to my friend. And that was the very first, one of the very first experiences I ever had where I was like, oh my gosh, there's something going on here. Like,
yeah,
there's some kind of connecting
happened.
Or communicating going on here that I didn't, I didn't know. And so over the years, this bond started to form and I started to develop actual relationships with certain dolphins that, you know, that would, that frequent the bays in Hawaii, and certain ones are more friendly and other ones are not. Some of them are a little bit more stern, and, you know, they all have their own
personality.
They're like people. They're like people. Yeah, exactly.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and so I started having a lot of experiences with them, but one of the main ones that kind of connects into what we're talking about is that I recognize that they don't do this ownership thing that I'd been struggling with and that I've been working on is that, you know, sort of putting the glass around the food coloring thing, that sort of process of claiming my experience to be mine and then interpreting it to be all about me. And that was where my imprisonment was.
Mm-hmm.
And I was looking at these animals and they're totally free. And what hit me when I was in the water is they don't own anything. They don't have the ownership thing. And not only do they not have houses and they don't have possessions, but it was like even deeper than that. They don't own anything. They're just naked
free.
And free and open. And right as I started to realize that, this dolphin came up to me and it was just like this shared, you know, openness. And
it
was quite
powerful.
Like
you had figured it out.
They were like, oh, you see us.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and that particular swim, I took home with me. Like, I took the way everything felt about it, and that particular dolphin kept coming into my dreams, and it really was working on me. Like, it really settled deep into me, this experience of, you know, what would it really mean if I had absolutely nothing? And if I was that, you know, if I had that much courage to let everything go and just be a free human without anything at all. And that was when I started really to go through my deep part of my awakening, you know. And right after that, I met a teacher that started to really, everything started to really kick into high gear, and things started to really, really shift for me. So it was a really powerful, probably about 6 month period right after I got home from that trip and started to really take that in. And initially, actually, the title of the book was going to be Being Freely Human, and it was kind of based on that inspiration from that dolphin. But I'm thinking I'm going to save that title for book number two. But there's the message in the book is about being freely human. So what does that mean to not you know, sort of be in our little prisons that we make for ourselves, and to be really, to have nothing at all. But when you have nothing at all, what you do have is freedom. So you have that openness, and it's like a weight that just comes off of you. And so instead of carrying around the burden of all these things, like my self-image is a burden and my possessions are a burden, and then that leads to that problem that's a burden, and it's like feeling that the weight of it pushing down on me, and then, you know, realizing that I could free myself of that. It could be free.
You know,
that was one
you're
of the
talking,
biggest dolphin downloads.
Yeah. You know, I just had this feeling of these dolphins. You know, they have nothing, and yet they have everything. I mean, look at, they can swim freely in the sea, and they have everything they need to sustain themselves. They play, they, you know, make love. They have everything.
Yeah.
They have everything they could want. And you wonder, who is more evolved?
Yeah, I know. I've definitely wondered that.
And you know, they don't have wars. Like you say, some of them are more stern.
Yeah,
and
they,
I'm
actually,
sure
they do fight. I've seen them fight.
They can be
pretty aggressive with each other. But
they
shake it off and it's done. You know, one of them will come up and just kind of flick their tail onto the other one. It's like, hey, that's my human.
So they have their own kind of humanity. When we say, you know, being human, they're being dolphins.
Yes, they're being dolphins, yeah.
They're being dolphins. But, yeah, what a What an interesting thing. And as you were talking, and this, I don't know, maybe this will be another sequel of yours, is how does this apply to parenting? That's what I kept thinking. I really felt I need to bring you on again sometime to talk more about parenting.
Quite the journey with that too, definitely, you know, because I'm a single mom and my son is 13, just about 14. But I remember when I started going through my spiritual awakening, having this moment, and I think it started when he was about 4, where I felt all of a sudden that I can't own him. I have to make sure that energetically, at least, I recognize that he is his own being, living his own life on his own journey, and I have to hold this space where he's free to be himself 100%. And it was like this vision that just kind of came in, and I saw that. And even though energetically that's always my intention, is to let him be him.
Yes.
And there's sometimes on the external or the action, you know, where I have to stop him from doing something because, you know,
it's
I'm the mother
wise.
And he's the child.
Yeah. I understand. And I'm a mother too. So
right.
My son's a couple years older, but I know that we used to talk about our children many years ago too. Parenting has always been something we share, and you know, it is true, Christine, when you really look at them being, this is a soul on a journey who incarnated on this planet and has a purpose and a journey and
their
you
own
know,
thing
some,
to do that has nothing to do with me whatsoever.
It actually frees you. That is a freeing. When you talk about freedom, it helps to alleviate some of the worry too. Like if a child's going through something really challenging, you can at least certainly help them. But it's just
the way that I deal with it is that it's like on the inside, I'm always saying yes to him, even if on the outside I have to say no to him.
Mm-hmm.
So internally, energetically, I'm always in full yes.
Yes.
Yes, you can be you. Yes, you cannot like that you can't have chocolate for supper. Yes. But inside, I'm always saying yes. And then sometimes in a life situation, I have to say no. You know, no, you can't go all by yourself to your friends and do that thing that's dangerous or whatever.
Right.
And yes, your feelings are allowed about that, and yes, everything, all the ways that you feel about that are totally valid, and yes. So inside, I'm always saying yes to him.
Yes.
And maybe yes on the outside, and maybe no. Depending. So that's how I kind of play it into parenting.
Yes.
Because inside, I want to always be honoring him as his own soul, his own spirit. He's a free being. And you know, to honor his evenness.
Yes.
And to let him be that 100%.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow. There's a real answer in there for it can really help us a lot because it's so easy to become attached or in an unhealthy way. Of course you're going to be your own child to a point, but just to be too controlling. I mean, that's always my tendency is to go a little bit too far that way. Protective. I'm very protective, and they have to have their experience.
Right? Yeah.
Well, of course, and yet to a degree they have to. Otherwise, they can't be independent. I become more knowledgeable of that. You know, as time goes on, and you begin to see, you know, they're gonna leave at some point. They're in college.
It's so hard when they leave.
And you have to be able to put them in that place, feel that you've launched them properly.
Yeah, right.
So,
but I think a lot of it has to do with doing your own work. Like for me, that yes space that I'm talking about is me doing my work on me.
Yeah.
Because if I'm trying to focus on him without doing my own work, I can't actually get into that yes space. I can't, as long as I'm in some kind of deep aversion or I'm rejecting the glass or I'm in a resistance and I haven't dealt with that in myself, I can't then deal with him that way.
Yes.
So if I feel the no inside, I know, this is mine. I have to go and I have to sit in the pool, and I have to do my alchemy, and I have to let that, I would call it take it to the field. I have to take this to the field and do my work on myself,
yeah,
until I'm at a full yes inside. Then I'll go meet with him, sit down with him, meet him with presence, and then we'll take it from there, which may mean saying yes, it may mean saying no.
Yes.
But yeah, so it really does for me come down to me doing my own work on me first and making sure I'm in that yes space inside. And it's a lot easier to deal with anything that comes up in that space.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, I want to make a note to those of you listening live. I'm going to let this show flow into the podcast because it won't cut us off, Christine. It keeps going. If you're listening live and you want to keep listening live, you have to call 310-807-5104 and listen on the teleconference line. So just letting you know, or listen in the podcast in a few minutes when we're done. So anyway, we're moving into the off the live show.
Right.
But yeah, it was such, you were so flowing with this content. I mean, I don't, it's not something that can easily be contained. It's much like your bottle just pouring it into the ocean. and I do think, you know, even when I came up with the name for this show, The Frontier Beyond Fear, you know, what does that really mean? There's something that really makes me think of the dolphins as you're talking about the dolphins, or just this feeling. It certainly has a lot to do with freedom, because fear, although, you know, as you say, we need to work with these things. We can't just run away from our fear, otherwise we won't deal with it.
Yeah.
If we allow it to dissipate in our lives, where it's not serving us, where we let it do its work and then dissipate, we do, I think, as individuals and as a society, create this space. I mean, I feel like it's a more evolved society. It's to me, you know, even what people will call the ascension, or it's a leap into this place where we're not just always in survival mode and fear. You know, it's just where we live more openly, and although I'm sure even dolphins, they feel fear if their lives are threatened or something is happening. You know, I just feel that they are examples to us in some ways too, in that they just, they don't allow that to drive them in the same way that sometimes we can.
Yeah, because, I mean, definitely for me, freedom includes being able to feel like maybe a mother fear or a mother worry.
Yeah,
like even a few weeks ago, my son went on a school trip to Quebec, and there was this moment where somebody dropped his phone and it broke, and he texted me, and it still worked, but just the glass was broken, and he texted me to tell me, you know, that he was upset about his phone being broken, and all of this, you know, emotion came up in me. It's like, oh, my baby's upset, and I'm not there to help him with his feelings. Oh, my God.
Yes.
And so definitely, you know, but for me, where the freedom is not that that stuff isn't going to come up, but but that it is going to come up, and I'm going to be able to meet it consciously. I'm going to be able to be conscious with feeling upset, or being conscious about feeling mother worry, and knowing that that's connected to love, and I wouldn't want to send that away because I'd be sending away all that love. So
yes.
I'd be like, oh, this is good that it's coming up. I'd rather deal with it because there's something good in it too. It's not 100% bad just because I don't like it. There's something in there that's precious. So so it's not for me. Freedom isn't that this stuff never comes up again. It's that it comes up and I take it to the field. And I sit with
the
it as
field,
it is,
yeah,
and I see it for what it is. So it's mother worry has all of this love, and it's got this deep human bond and the open-heartedness, and so it's got all this good stuff in it. And maybe we don't like the worry part, or maybe we don't like the, you know, the anxiety part. But those are the parts that you know, if you let them in closer, then you get the, you know, that, like you described, that wave coming in. You know, part of that wave is love, and part of that wave is joy, and just being able to deepen in your spiritual process, your progress. So yes, there's all kinds of good stuff
in
it.
I'm still feeling tingles from the waves.
Nice.
I mean, it's these things are real when you talk about alchemy. I mean, there's a real thing that happens. I mean, I seriously am. I can still feel an energetic, a very real physical, powerful effect. And I'm kind of holding it just in this space, you know,
that's
for
wonderful.
Doing the show, but it's still there.
Wow,
and,
that's great.
And I have time to explore it more in a while, you know, when I can just quietly reflect. And there's no rush. That's the cool thing, is that when it comes down to this, isn't it true, Christine, these things that we're working, we have time, you know, just let the waves come one after another, and
absolutely.
When they're ready.
Yeah, and when you really are in that space of just now, you know, it really does feel like, oh, you know, there's infinite time. Like, there's no hurry. There's no rush.
That's so true. And, you know, you said those words, conscious living, a little bit ago. And, you know, it really brings this full circle in a way, is, you know, what does it mean to be consciously living in that awareness? And you know, when you talk about the field, which is such an interesting term that you give it, the field.
Yeah.
I just feel the love on the field.
Yeah, it is. It's like a field of love.
Uh-huh. It's not just a field of dreams, although I guess it is, like in the movie.
Yeah, the field to me is like the pool in that analogy. Like it's something like water, where it's just you can't actually contain it even if you wanted to.
Yes.
You know, if you were to try to really bottle it, you really couldn't. All of this love, you couldn't contain it. It is free. It's like air. More air is probably even better than water.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I sort of experience it. That it is free-flowing, and it is always there, and we're always in it, and it's always in us. We can't be separate from it. So we're always in that field. And that's where the conscious part of it comes from. So one of the messages in the book is about being freely human, about being fully human. And when we're in the space of rejecting something or trying to get away from something, we can't actually be fully present with it. It's almost like that glass is dark, and so we can't see what's inside it all the way. We can't fully see it. So as long as we're resisting it, we can't see it.
Right.
And so then we can't be conscious of it. We can't know all of what it is because we're sending it away. But when we allow it to come closer and we alchemize it, now we can see it. So now we have clarity. And we can see all this aspects to it and all that it means to, you know, what is emotion? It's just part of consciousness. And it's actually, for me, once that alchemy takes place, I see it's all coming from the same place. It's all the field. You know, it's all coming out of the field as the field, and it's all going back into the field. So it's all just different. You know, maybe different food coloring colors, or maybe different, you could say, frequencies or different vibrations or different rippling effects, but it's all made of that exact same stuff.
Yes.
So that's, to me, what it means to be consciously living, is that you're in that space of willingness for things to come close so that you can see it and be conscious of it. And if I'm in the other space of aversion and rejection, then I can't be conscious of it. And
yes.
I'm sending it away, so I can't be conscious. It stays unconscious. And then the fear stays too. And so then I'm not feeling free. I'm feeling like all my energy is going into avoiding this thing.
Yes. And you
so
know,
now
when
I'm really invested in it. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was just thinking, when something's hidden, it's so much easier to be afraid of it, isn't it?
Absolutely.
As opposed to really seeing it and looking at it and saying, you know, maybe that isn't quite the monster that I thought it was, or whatever,
exactly.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah, there's a part in the book where I talk
it.
About the skeletons in the closet, you know, how there's that analogy of the you know, the monsters of the skeletons that are in the closet.
Right.
And the way I describe it in the book is it's more like just living with the closet doors always open. So there's always light in there. Instead of having a mess in your closet and closing the closet door and then, you know, every once in a while opening that door and pulling the mess out, it's like, no, just live with it always open.
I like that. That's a really another good analogy. Well, I have to say that I'm really looking forward to your book, and
great.
I would love to bring you on the show again around the time when it comes out, because that's when it would be a really good time to talk about it even more deeply. And we may have people who have questions about it and would like to talk to you at that time. And I wish you very well with the Indiegogo campaign.
Thank you.
And can they get to that too through your main website? So if they click on the blog spot, okay, that's good. So your main website's up on the page, and anyone listening in the podcast, assuming the campaign's still ongoing because people listen way out in the future,
there's 2 weeks left of this particular campaign. So if you want to pre-order the book, you'd have to do it within the next 2 weeks. And then if someone's listening to this in the future, they may be able to just go onto Amazon and get the book.
Yeah, the book may be out.
They can get to it all kinds of ways. Yeah,
I do
Amazon
this all
or innersplendormedia.com is the actual publisher site. So you could go on there to get updates and join their mail list and get information on when it's coming out and that kind of thing.
Yes.
So it's innersplendormedia.com or my website. Or if you find me on Facebook, I'm, quite often posting a link to Indiegogo. Mm-hmm. So it gives you the direct link to just click on, and it takes you right to our campaign page. So if you look me up on Facebook, you can find it there too.
And I know people will benefit from joining you on Facebook just because of the openness, as we had talked about earlier.
Yeah, the little community feel, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, one thing I wanted to mention as we're talking about people in the future, and I think of all people you would really feel this too, is that I actually have been thanked for doing this, that it's an odd thing to do, and yet I just want to welcome the energy of the people who are listening in the future and let them know that we feel you with us right now. Because there is no time, and they are with us right now. Do you feel it, Christine?
Definitely. Absolutely. Yeah, there's definitely no time
in
the field.
I know. And I love that feeling with these podcasts. It's one of the it sounds like just the obvious thing. Yeah, sure, people are listening in the future to the podcast. But, there is something that just connects us across time. And people
definitely
start to really feel it because we're with them as they're experiencing the show with us, and eventually once you start thinking about time and space, there is no separation. I mean, there's no we're completely in this space together, and you can really feel it across time and space. So I'm so happy that you could come here today, Christine, and I look forward
chat.
It really was, and I knew it would be, and I look forward to talking to you again and reading your book. I think it has so much to give to us. I know that I will personally very much want to immerse myself in your book once it's out, and I'm happy for you that it's coming.
Thank you. Well, it's been so nice to talk to you. It's been a great conversation.
Well, thank you. And so I guess I will send you off in peace. I'm feeling really, really, I can't explain it. The wave is still with me. So
great.
Thank you for that moment of alchemy and being an enabler there to assist with that.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope that many out there are having similar experiences and are open to it, because there's something, you're right, Christine. It's like, wow, what can we do with this?
It's powerful.
It is. So,
well, I'll see you in the field.
Thank you again.
Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you, and take care.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye. And from that peaceful place, I will just wrap up the show with a couple of quick notes. We have another show tomorrow. This show, there are just a number of people coming with so so many wonderful things to share, and I'm just opening the doors. So tomorrow, Mark David Gerson is going to be returning. He's a popular regular guest on this show and on others. And he is going to be here at 11 a.m. Pacific and 2 p.m. Eastern. And this is going to be a related topic in a way, because he's going to talk about unblocking the creative flow. And Mark David has a new book that he just released on writer's block. But it's also not just focused on that. It's about the creative process in general and how do we allow it to flow. So I'm looking forward to bringing Mark David back on the show tomorrow. And then on Monday, May 6th at 12 noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern, another really powerful show. Really looking forward to bringing on for the first time on this show, Joel Garvin and Jean Manning, and they are leaders in the worldwide new energy movement. In fact, Joel was on Coast to Coast AM last month, and oh my gosh, he such a powerful show. He not only presented the importance of these technologies that are available to us that can transform the planet, but he gave the most beautiful description of his own spiritual experiences. And whenever you hear that on national radio like that, actually technically deeply into in all these inventions and things, and to talk about his personal experience of, you know, what Christine would call the field, I mean, very compatible with that. It was a beautiful thing. In fact, I had to send him that. Talking that because it was a vulnerable, beautiful thing. It's so people, personal way and a very real internet to have them here on the show. Talking about with that on your way. This show's becoming more frequent, almost like a regular show. Fancy that. So I actually get to say that I will see you back tomorrow, I hope, and I cast as well. You're always welcome to come to frontierbeyondfear.com. which is the main show page for this, or the main site for the show. You can find all the archives. You can find the link to the iTunes subscription. I'm in the process of enhancing that page so that there will be pages for every guest that has been on the show so that you can listen to all of their shows and then topical links. I really think it's going to be cool once I get that all together so that people can, you know, find shows on a related topic or a particular guest. So I do welcome you to frontierbeyondfear.com. And if you feel called to support the show and the ongoing maintenance costs, I very much welcome that as well. And all of those links you can find on frontierbeyondfear.com. So thank you again for being here. And I hope that you too experience a wave similar to what I felt today. Thank you so much. Thank you.